You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're just joining us, we're continuing my conversation about Project Rebound, a program that supports reintegration of those formerly and currently incarcerated wishing to enroll at the California State University system, including Sac State. I'm talking with Aaron Green, a former student and now director of Project Rebound at Sacramento State, as well as Desiree McFarland, who is a student participating in the program. So, Aaron, who is eligible?
Eligibility is individuals who are justice impacted. So we do deal with anybody who has any kind of arrest records or jail time, juvenile justice involved individuals, and, of course, individuals who did time in penitentiaries, both federally and state. So it just is individuals who have justice, you know, involvement.
And at Sac State, I mean, they coordinate and partner with Folsom State Prison and Mule Creek State Prison. And the classes are not only virtual, they're also in person as well.
Yeah. So the TOPS program is another program that we have here on campus that Project Rebound is partnered with. And they do offer the two bachelor's programs inside of Mule Creek and Folsom State Prison. We also do outreach at almost every other prison in the Central Valley and this area, all the way up to High Desert State Prison. So we get that piece, but the main portion of like our educational piece here is the Mule Creek and Folsom State Prison.
I want to get to the origin story of Project Rebound. Who is credited for creating this?
So Dr. John Irwin in 1967 started Project Rebound. He was convicted and did 5 years in prison for a gas station robbery. And he was the one, when he got out, he decided he wanted to go back to school and get an education. Dr. Irwin is a world-renowned author. He wrote one of the books called The Felon. He has multiple books. He started off in 1967 at San Francisco State University with Project Rebound, but he had received his doctorate in sociology. As soon as he started it out, it was started in the little broom closet at San Francisco State University. They gave him paper, pen, a chair, and a desk, and he began written correspondence with individuals who were incarcerated.
And there's now a John Irwin House, which is at Cal State Fullerton, and that's the first housing community for formerly incarcerated university students in the country, not just in California. And now Sacramento State is hoping to do something similar, which would be the first of its kind in Northern California. What's happening with that? Where does it stand now?
Yesterday, we had a meeting at 4 o'clock talking about the purchase of the home. We did get $1.1 million in total for the purchase. We've decided we will purchase a home that's approximately $900,000. We're going to go look at properties very soon. I'm hoping to find a house that has at least two dwellings on it so that we can assist male and female students, because we do have the need for housing for both male and females. It's really difficult, unfortunately, right now to find housing for cheap. The market has went crazy.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. So it's like finding, you know, 2 4-bedroom, 3 bathrooms 2 years ago for $400,000 would have been easy. Now you're looking at one the same size for double the price. So it's, you know, finding that. But we are in the makings of it. We're just waiting for the funds to hit. And that should happen on September 22nd. And on September 22nd, we'll have the ability to do an offer to purchase.
How many people do you hope to offer housing to?
If we only get one house, it'll probably be 8 to 10 students. Right now, we have about 25% of our student population on campus that is either couch surfing or housing insecure. And that's in our program. And we have 70 students. So we need more bed spaces than we have money to purchase. Hopefully we'll figure it out.
Yeah. So you have 70 students currently in Project Rebound at Sac State?
And that's just at Sac State's Project Rebound. We don't count the individuals who are matriculated students at the Mule Creek and Folsom State Prison. They are the top students. We do provide them with support. We help them with their transcripts and transcript evaluation, academic advising. We do a lot of, you know, things with the TOPS program. We just don't count them in our numbers. Because TOPS needs to have their own number set aside. We will assist them, and as soon as they get out of prison, they will be able to come into the Project Rebound. We help them to establish their account, walk them through their process. We have several that come out, you know, a semester or a year, I should say. So throughout an academic year, we'll get at least one or two of our top students coming out and becoming Project Rebound students. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they don't have housing. And that's kind of a trick thing. The reason that we want the house and need the house is because of the convicting county rule. So if you go to prison, you have to return to your convicting county. And if there are Sacramento State students, fully matriculated students taking classes, working on a bachelor's program, and they don't have housing here in Sacramento or a place to go, they'll be sent back to their convicting county. And how can they do classes in person at Sacramento State when they're in Los Angeles? Yeah. So that's something that we've had to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, there are definitely complexities with that. You know, Desiree, I mean, you were talking about the challenges and housing. You mentioned that. And I mean, just underscoring that, can you just kind of walk us through the challenges of finding housing as a student and also part of Project Rebound?
Definitely. I have the unique experience of several 10-plus years in property management prior to my return to academia. So not only do I understand what Aaron is speaking of as far as the rental prices go, when I was actually in the business, a three-bedroom was on average $900. The same three-bedroom that hasn't been rebuilt or anything spectacular new, same shell, $2,300. It's absurd. And unfortunately, the pay in which they are expecting people to be able to afford these things are just not given to students right off the jump. And so having the ability, and then on top of that, people that have a prior criminal record generally don't have the best credit to go along with it, because these negative consequences, I can tell you, I wasn't keeping up on all my bills when I was making these really horrific decisions. And so it just kind of domino effect. And so unfortunately, negative rental history can affect your credit score for up to 10 years, depending on what it is. And that coupled with your criminal past can be a depletion of opportunities. And so what we do here at Project Rebound is create pockets of opportunities for our students. I can, as a student assistant, a very proud, grateful student assistant, anybody that comes to our office, or even when we're tabling next to the quad right now in front of the library, I let them know about College Town. You know, that's a resource just for Sac State students. Get your name on the list. Be proactive. Because that is the best place going for to save gas, to save, you know, time. And there's no other place in town that is that close. And then once we have, you know, Hornet housing and things like that coming available, although it is available, Project Rebound students generally tend to not know that it's there because, again, the focus is primarily just getting your footing here. And a four-year university is a lot different than a JC in so many different ways. And just the intimidation of coming to something so large can be overwhelming as a student when you're looking to just get your books and get involved. It's nice to know that Project Rebound is there to give housing information, but we don't have the funds to make it official for them in a lot of ways. So for myself, personally, as a mother of three, I live in Citrus Heights. Beautiful, expensive. But it wasn't until I got to Sacramento State and I had to go through my JC years from 2017 till, you know, 2021 when I transferred in without any housing assistance at all. Unfortunately, I ended up having to go to parishes to ask for help. Any of the parishes downtown that work with just helping in any financial regard, especially through the summer, because your financial aid packet doesn't cover all year. And as a parent, it barely covers, you know, basics. And so you have to get really, really creative or you will be homeless. And unfortunately, as a mother, you just don't have that opportunity. So you're looking anywhere. It is a godsend that I was able to come to Sacramento State and be involved directly with Project Rebound to utilize my knowledge about property management and the economy to help facilitate the services here at the university for the students.
Yeah, you're talking about a university that's over 30,000 students. That's larger than some cities in the state. I'm curious, have either of you received, or even just the program in and of itself, received any pushback, or have you been on the receiving end of stigma?
Yeah, there is, you know, there is pushback. There's questions about how do we build a house for individuals? What individuals we're going to allow into the housing? Do we have to worry about zoning regulations and who can live in the house? And there's all kinds of things that go along with it, and the fear that someone isn't going to be happy that formerly incarcerated people are going to be living next to them. That's a huge issue. HOAs, you know, homeowners associations, usually have really strict rules about how many cars you're able to have, how many people you have. So there's a lot of different things. Senate Bill 2 does discuss, like, transitional housing and how it has to be looked at as regular rental or regular, you know, residential property. So that's a really big issue. There's always the pushback from landlords. We hear it all the time on a constant basis from our students that rental applications include a little box that say, have you ever been convicted of a felony? The minute that you have that on a rental application for an apartment or a house, it's an exclusionary tactic. If you have 100 people that come in and apply, and 10 of those individuals have that box marked, yes, they've been convicted of a felony, you just pick them applications up and throw them in the trash. They don't want to rent to individuals. I've experienced it. I've had my application withdrawn from housing. And then, of course, it isn't just the fact that you have an individual asking the question, I've already paid my debt to society when I went to prison. I got out. I've changed my life. 6 years later, you're still asking me the same question. 7 years later, 8 years later. And it's not going to let me get into your housing. You don't want to rent to me because of a crime that I committed.
I couldn't agree more with Aaron's statement on that. And not only have, unfortunately, in the business, he's right. The minute that someone checkmarks that box, it's not legally, management companies can't say that they are discriminating,
right.
But they can politely put it to the bottom of the pile and just take your $35 or $50 now for your application fees and act like you never existed. And so it's unfortunate and really, really unfair, but that is also a discriminatory tactic, and it is against the law to do that. And so I'm also grateful at Project Rebound that we have other programs and other people with knowledge that can facilitate students that are just as impacted to be able to navigate through these types of things, because it is, I actually just talked to someone yesterday who said she had 5 applications that she was rejected for immediately. I said, stop telling them that this is part of what you're going through. Just put the information as basic as possible. And since, you know, somebody will be a payee, you deal with it later and see what happens. And, you know, we'll see if that information works out. But it's just one of the scenarios where people get discriminated against for something that they've rebuilt their lives on. I'm not the same person I was when I was 19. You know, I didn't make the same mistakes, and I continue to move forward. But the stigma is just like any other stigma, based on people not understanding and unwilling to see something positive. So,
finally, I want to ask the both of you, because the opportunities are obviously there, but there are still barriers, as we just laid out. And there are people listening to this where this really resonates with them. What do you want to say to them that you wish you heard when you didn't know that Project Rebound was possible?
I would have to say the one thing that I could personally say is never give up hope. Right? There is programs, there are services, there are ways that you can actually achieve whatever you set your mind to achieving. And if, you know, like individuals in our class, like, you know, individuals who are coming out of prison and have these negative situations, or who have been just justice impacted, they don't think that there's a way. They don't feel the hope. There is. We work with Root and Rebound, which helps individuals to expunge their records. They're helping with the whole issue about employment applications and ban the box. They're helping our students out with, you know, housing discrimination situations where they are applying and getting denied because of their, you know, past incarceration rates. So there is nothing that stands in your way except for your self-doubt. So you have to remove that self-doubt and move in that positive direction.
Definitely. I can safely say that as a Project Rebound student, my life has transformed. Even it's been a year since I transferred in. It'll be a year tomorrow, actually. And it's changed my life forever. I not only have made strong connections in my peer group with like-minded individuals, but it has unlocked other passions. I had originally tabled some of my other passions because I just didn't think I would be able to get my record clear to even apply. And so now that I have the opportunities through Root and Rebound, I want to tell other students, don't hold back. Don't let fear ever stop you, because all you got to do is show up. So I'm grateful that I have this opportunity, and I continue to look for all the amazing opportunities that Sacramento State offers for their students.
Desiree and Aaron, thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Aaron Green is director of Project Rebound at Sacramento State, and Desiree McFarland is a student participating in the program for those incarcerated or previously incarcerated to allow them to achieve higher education goals and avoid reincarceration. Following our conversation, both Aaron and Desiree credit Sac State President Robert Nelson for supporting and funding the program as it continues to expand. Project Rebound is offered across 14 Cal State campuses. Still ahead, you may know Tamara Keith is NPR's White House correspondent, but she's now adding author to her resume. Tamara joins us about penning a children's book with her son titled Claire and the Eager Speaker. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.